Hello everyone, happy Sunday. Let's see, 7/17/16, which I don't know why, I think it's kind of a cute date, but not as cute as 7/17/17 will be next year. And Chris, I don't know what happened, I don't know if it was pal talk troubles or schedule confusion or what happened that you didn't get your hour tonight, but I think we're very honored that you have chosen to come and speak here, and we're happy that you'll be returning, of course, next Sunday and the Sunday after that, et cetera, et cetera. I am here now for just 30 minutes. My time is being cut short tonight because in 30 minutes we're going to play a 90-minute audio, John Mark Stroud Satsang. It was an interview that I did with John Mark Stroud last fall, and we'll be replaying that tonight so that people can refresh their memories and get to know him again before our fall retreat. Also next month, on the third Sunday of the month, so let's see, that will be August 21st, our satsang is going to be a live satsang with Brent Haskell. So Jacqueline Eckert will interview Brent Haskell on August 21st, also getting ready for our fall retreat, because as you know, John Mark Stroud and Brent Haskell are two of our retreat leaders. What I want to do before we get started tonight on this 30 minutes is just play a song, as I always do. The song that popped out at me tonight is called Happy Birthday, Jesus. As you all know, I went to visit Michael Langford in April, and spent the day talking with him, and you've heard some of the audios from our day's discussion. One of the things he said in our discussion is that humans are stuck. And, you know, those three words just stuck in my mind. Humans are stuck. Those three words just got stuck in my mind. And in a way, I have seen that stuckness that he speaks of. Like I've never seen it before since that discussion with him. And what I see is how the ego, in what appears to be different situations, different people, different stories, just keeps replaying the same scenarios over and over and over again. And because humans are stuck listening to the ego voice as if it is their voice, they are indeed stuck. You know, I won't go into the different news stories that are happening now that illustrate this stuckness, but they are out there. And so for me, observing this stuckness is an opportunity for contemplation. It's an opportunity to ask myself if I will remain stuck in listening to the ego voice, or if I will be one that will step outside of that stuckness. And this song that I'm going to play, to me, really kind of is making the same point, that humans are stuck, and it is encouraging us to make a different choice. So this is by Kirtana, and the name of the song is Happy Birthday, Jesus.
We tend to crucify what we don't
That's a song that I hear asking us to take responsibility. All right, so why don't we begin then with the seven steps to awakening? I think probably in the short amount of time that we have tonight, we are only going to look at, quote, number 727. What I am doing is sharing a link to my journal, 727. The quote comes from the Yoga Vasistha. It's a very short quote, a very interesting quote. I hadn't read it before I picked the song, but after listening to the song, glancing at the quote, I went, wow, they fit together so perfectly. Quote 727 says, "The ego sense is unreal. Do not trust it." The ego sense is unreal. Do not trust it. Wow. If we could all just follow that short little quote, there would be no problems in the world. because the problems in the world come from trusting the ego sense. So let me just demonstrate how this lovely ego works. Let's imagine that there is someone who needs help, maybe a place to stay for a time. And for whatever reason, I want to invite that person to come and stay with me. And what I imagine when I invite that person to come and stay with me is that there will be gratitude or appreciation for the help that I am giving. Right there is where I start listening to ego. The person comes and stays with me, and maybe the first thing I notice is that the person is not at all helpful around the house. The person never helps to pick things up. The person never helps, by cooking, by, noticing when I'm busy and maybe walking the dog for me. The person in no way helps out. And so right then my ego voice starts talking about, how this person is not appreciative. And right then my grievance begins. And of course I bite my tongue and I don't say anything. But while I'm cleaning and noticing this one isn't helping me clean, that grievance is growing, right? And then, one day I happened to overhear this person having a telephone conversation with someone else, and this person is telling stories about me that aren't even true. Telling stories about how he or she sees me behave in my house that aren't even true. So now I have a person that's not only not appreciative, but is spreading untrue rumors about me for reasons that I can't even imagine why. Right? Maybe this person's trying to get some pity or get some help from someone else. Who knows? But these stories are being spread. Finally, the person and I, I'm listening to all of these thoughts about how this person is betraying me and I need to get this person out of my house. This is not a healthy environment, et cetera, et cetera. I start talking to friends about it and this friend strongly agree this is not a healthy environment. I am not a doormat. I need to have boundaries. I need to get rid of this person. And so finally the day comes where I, in a very angry voice, ask the person to leave. And the person gets very, very angry, and as they leave, they destroy personal property. They knock holes in the wall in the room they were staying at. They take a permanent marker and write on furniture. They just destroy things on their way out. The most common scenario, assuming you were on my side of this little conflict, the most common scenario would be to blame this person. But the truth is the person is not to blame. It's the fact that I trusted the thoughts in my own mind. From the very beginning, when I had the expectation of gratitude and appreciation, right? I was trusting the ego in my mind and then looking to see if there was gratitude and appreciation and then not seeing it and holding grievances and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it led to this big blow up and this conflict. I told you there are several news stories that I could mention and I don't feel like mentioning them. If you all turn on the TV, you'll see the several news stories. But every news story, it seems to have two sides to it. And on both of those sides of the issue, people are trusting their ego. And this is where the conflict is coming from. If we could learn to distrust our ego, if we could learn to look at our mind and ask, is this true? Is this so? Is it possible I'm wrong? is it possible I'm wrong? Is it possible there's another way of looking at this? Right? If we could begin to question our mind in the way that you question something that you don't fully trust, there would be a lot less conflict and a lot less problems. So I started off by saying humans are stuck. I told you that that's what Michael Langford said when I was visiting him, and that those three words have just stuck in my mind. Humans are stuck. And the reason that we're stuck is because we're listening to ego. Well, now if we add this quote to it, the reason we're stuck is because we trust the thoughts in our own mind. So what is needed here is a little bit of distrust. You know, it reminds me of the teachings of Inner Ramana. Inner Ramana, at the end of that book, talks about three states of mind: the resistor, the doubter, and abiding. The resistor being the average person in the world. This is a person who believes they are the ego, although they would never say that, but they believe the ego thoughts are their thoughts, and so they believe they are the ego. That's the resistor. It's called the resistor because they're fully resisting their truth by believing they are the ego. The second state of mind, the doubter, is progressive towards awakening. The doubter is beginning to doubt. Yes, RDA. I'll talk about that in a moment. But the doubter is beginning to doubt those same thoughts that once upon a time they fully believed and fully trusted. Right? That doubter phase is a necessary phase before we get to the abiding phase, where we are abiding as our true self. We cannot trust the ego and abide as our true self simultaneously. We must doubt it. We must question it. We must look at it with distrust. Now, just as a little aside, Kathy wrote in the room, RDA, I have been teaching about the resistor, the doubter, and abiding since the spring of 2009, so about 7 years now. And it wasn't until the fall retreat when somebody pointed out to me that resistor, doubter, and abiding are RDA. I had never seen that before, so I thought that was kind of funny. So let's look at the quote. The ego sense is unreal. Do not trust it. Well, we've talked about the second half, do not trust it, but let's look at the first half. The ego sense is unreal. Now, this may not matter to some people, but it has come to matter a lot to me. Why should I want to believe an illusion of myself instead of knowing my true self? And not only that, why should I want to believe an illusion of myself when that illusion is the cause of all of my upset, all of my suffering, all of my fear, all of my worry, all of my grievances? Why should I want to believe an illusion of myself? It just doesn't make sense. I don't know if you guys remember the soap opera Dark Shadows. But in the soap opera in Dark Shadows, when Barnabas came upon the scene, Barnabas the vampire, for those of you who don't remember at all. Yes, you remember Barnabas, okay. The very first thing he did on that show was he kidnapped a woman named Maggie Evans. And he tried to convince her through brainwashing that she was his previous lover. I think the lover's name was Josetta. something like that. Josetta Collins. I might have that name a little wrong, but it was something like that. Tried to convince Maggie that she was Josetta because he wanted to be with Josetta. Now, Josetta had died like 150 years before, right? In fact, she jumped off a cliff so that she wouldn't have to be with Barnabas. But he was having a lot of success in brainwashing Maggie Evans. But there was something gnawing at her that she wasn't Josetta Collins, and she kept running around in the soap opera asking the question, "Who am I? Who am I?" Now, you know, as Josetta Collins, she would live in luxury. You know, she would end up a vampire, but then she would have eternal life. You know, if she had just accepted this false person as who she was, she probably could have even been fairly happy married to Barnabas as Josetta Collins. But she didn't want to be an illusion of herself. And so she kept, as she was forgetting who she was and beginning to identify through brainwashing with this new identity, she just kept asking, "Who am I? Who am I?" And she just kept asking, "Who am I? Who am I?" And then one day, while she was asking, "Who am I? Who am I?" she looked in a mirror and she saw her face, and it just dawned on her, "I'm Maggie Evans," you know? But the reason that came to my mind now is because I was saying, why should we want to believe that we are an illusion of ourselves? Why should we want to believe that we are Josetta Collins if in fact we are Maggie Evans? You know, Maggie was a great example, without knowing it, in that soap opera, that she just couldn't be satisfied with an illusion of herself. And so that's what this quote is also saying. The ego sense is unreal. Don't be satisfied with this illusion of yourself. And then even beyond that, do not trust it. Why? Because it is the cause of all suffering, all conflict in the world. All right, so let's go and look at what I wrote on my journal, April 16th, 2013, for number 727. Mind may speak, but I do not have to trust what it says. In fact, the best definition of ignorance is trusting the stories of mind. There is another guidance system, a more accurate one. Although it still moves in the realm of perception, it is not based on stories. It is based on the knowledge of truth. This system could be called silent intuition. So let's go back to the story I was making up about the person who is having troubles and needs a place to stay. And let's just go with the assumption that that original prompt to invite this person to come and stay with me is a genuine prompt. Like there's not a reason to question that. That feels very genuine. So I invite the person to come and stay with me. But then I see the thought, you know, in whatever way it shows up, that she should appreciate me, that she should have gratitude. And I start the questioning right there. Is that so? Is it true that she should appreciate me, have gratitude for me? And I already have enough clarity within myself to know that is not true. You know, using the language of A Course in Miracles, she is the free, highlight the word free, she is the free Son of God. And so if she chooses not to appreciate me and chooses not to have gratitude, that is her choice. I am responsible for me and my choices, not her and her choices. And so I recognize that. And as the story continues, again, the person, she's not someone who is helping out. she's not helping out in any way. But now, because I'm not expecting gratitude, I do not begin to harbor grievances. Now, in fact, I don't know how to explain this to someone who has not experienced it, but now I just have a very clear choice about whether I simply want to ask for help, ask that she assist me, or not ask, but I can do it in an open, clear, and clean way without any grievance. You see, it's the grievance that mucked everything up. And so maybe I do choose to go to her and say, you know, I'm really happy that you're here with me. However, I already have a very busy life, and now that you're here, there's a little more. Could you help out by doing this and this and this? Right? It's a very clear and straightforward way. No grievance. I think in most cases a person would say yes, but let's go ahead and have this person say no. No. What would cause a grievance now? What would cause me to become upset? The idea that she should have gratitude, that she should show appreciation. Without that, I can accept her no without any grievance whatsoever, and then I have a next choice. And maybe my next choice is, well, you know, it's silly. I've been trying to cook dinner while you're here. I don't usually cook dinner when I'm here alone. I think I will just let that go. Go into the refrigerator and take what you want, you know, but I won't be cooking dinner. You know, maybe I say, you know what, instead of using dishes and leaving dirty dishes in the sink, why don't we just use the paper plates while you're here? And that way you can throw them away when you're done or whatever. You know, it's kind of hard to make up a story. But the point is the conflict comes from the grievance. Without the grievance, there can be a clear and open conversation, even if some kind of boundaries do happen to get laid down. Byron Katie has a story in her book, A Thousand Names for Joy. I don't remember it exactly, but I think it was her husband was eating her cupcakes or something, and she asked him to stop eating them because they were her cupcakes, you know. We can have boundaries without grievance. Boundaries are sometimes necessary in this world. But the conflict that we feel within and the conflict that we see outside in some very frightening ways right now all comes from trusting the ego and not questioning it. Everything could be worked out differently if people were able to question the thoughts in their mind. Distrust the thoughts in their mind. Mind may speak, but I do not have to trust what it says. The mind may say, she's lazy. She's not thoughtful. Whatever, whatever. I do not have to believe it just because the mind said it. This was actually a hard lesson for me to learn. I used to think that I did have to believe my thoughts, and if I didn't, I was being dishonest. I was being dishonest by not believing my thoughts. That was just an ego trick. The most honest thing we can do is not believe our thoughts. Because our thoughts are telling us we're Josetta Collins, when actually we're Maggie Evans, to use that example. The thoughts are telling us we're the false self, when we're the true self. So it's the ultimate lie, the ultimate dishonesty to believe our thoughts. And it's the ultimate honesty to distrust them and to disbelieve them. And that is how we remember who we are. Like Maggie Evans, we look in the mirror, we remember who we are, and we're free. And with that, I am going to release the mic. Thank you all very much for hanging out with me for half an hour. I'll be here with you all evening long, listening. Bye-bye.